From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A Washington-based conservation group closed this summer's Southeast Alaska king salmon, or Chinook, troll fishery after a 3-year legal battle. The Wild Fish Conservancy's case rests on the idea that king salmon harvests in Southeast Alaska contribute to the decline of southern resident orcas, and now the group is doubling down. They're pursuing Endangered Species Act protections for several populations of king salmon across Alaska, KFSK's Shelby Herbert reports.
Even other environmental groups are questioning the Wild Fish Conservancy's latest move.
It's overkill. It's going way too far. Pretty dramatic overreach.
Tim Bristol is the executive director of Salmon State, a salmon conservation agency. The group's mission is to protect the future of wild salmon in Alaska. And Bristol says the Endangered Species Act isn't the right tool to fix the declining king stocks.
I'm deeply worried that it will make a lot of people really oppose the Endangered Species Act or express concern about whether the Endangered Species Act still works or not. I think it's an important tool in the toolbox, but I think it's also a tool that needs to be used very judiciously, very carefully, and for very specific circumstances. And to just try to have a blanket series of listings for stocks from areas of the state that are widely different, I think is very concerning.
Freelance journalist Nat Hirst first reported the ESA petition. The Wild Fish Conservancy wrote a letter to the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Doug Vincent Lang, in late May. It said their intent is to list and designate critical habitat for multiple populations of king salmon in Southeast Alaska, Southwest Alaska, and Cook Inlet. 3 years ago, the organization filed a lawsuit to protect a declining population of orcas in the Puget Sound by restoring king salmon to their fishing grounds. A federal judge in Washington state issued a ruling in early May that's likely to shut down trolling for king salmon in Southeast Alaska for the summer. Bristol says the Wild Fish Conservancy was wrong to target the trollers. And now they're doubling down by trying to list king salmon populations as endangered.
This just takes it to a place where people shut down and they go into a defensive mode because of pending listing and potential litigation, and that's just, it's not the way we're going to be able to solve this problem.
If Alaska king salmon make it onto the endangered species list, it could mean the closure of commercial harvests of kings and punish other fisheries that accidentally catch them. Amy Daugherty is the executive director for the Alaska Trollers Association. She says the trollers are too busy fighting the closure of their fishery to plan for a potential ESA listing.
We haven't focused on that one yet just because we're still preparing for the appeals process of the first lawsuit. But shortly we will be taking a harder look at that after we see the filing.
Daugherty says soon enough, other fisheries will share the burden of the existential threat to the Southeast trollers. The United Fishermen of Alaska is an umbrella organization representing 37 other fishing orgs from across Alaska. Tracy Welch is its executive director. She saw an outpouring of industry support for the trollers, and she expects that will grow even louder in the face of litigation that could affect more fisheries.
I think we've already seen industry support in that respect, but the fact that this has the potential to impact sport and subsistence along with commercial, I think, and hope that there will be, you know, more support throughout the state amongst user groups.
Commissioner Vincent Lang said that there's no way Alaska king stocks are in jeopardy of extinction. In an emailed statement, he said, quote, "The ESA is not the right tool to address issues related to low productivity. While the abundance of some stocks have taken a dip in recent years, the state has and will continue to take strong action to rebuild these stocks, end quote. The Wild Fish Conservancy hasn't filed the petition yet. Its letter to Vincent Lang, dated May 24th, said they would file one within 30 days. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Tribes in southeast Alaska and across the border in Canada have declared an emergency for salmon facing environmental risks. Leaders with the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission made the announcement at the 4th Annual Indigenous Leader Summit in Washington State last week. The Transboundary Commission represents 15 Tsimshian, Tlingit, and Haida nations. They say the Pacific salmon are facing habitat loss and degradation of critical waterways on both sides of the border. Guy Archibald is the commission's executive director.
We're seeing declining salmon stocks across the board, especially king salmon or Chinook. And we've, you know, come to the conclusion that there's no time to wait.
At the summit, participants talked about what they experienced at home. Violet Gattensby was a youth representative at the summit from Carcross, Yukon. She said, quote, "Our people no longer have salmon running in our streams. Salmon only live in our stories." Archibald says the commission wants two specific things to come from the Salmon Emergency Declaration. They hope to unify tribes in Alaska and Washington, along with First Nations in Canada, to strengthen their message. And they want recognition for the traditional territories of Southeast Alaska tribes that run across the border. Archibald says the lands are now in British Columbia and are subject to several large mines, some of which are now operating and some of which are being proposed.
Canada has to recognize one of those traditional boundaries and give Alaska tribes a real seat at the table on how these mines are developed.
Archibald gave the example of the Yunuk watershed east of Ketchikan, which has several mining projects like the Bruce Jack gold mine, the proposed KSM gold mine, and the SK Creek Revitalization Project, which is an old gold mine looking to reopen. Thanks to Coast Alaska's Angela Denning for that reporting.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source. Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
The Chena River watershed is one of the biggest contributors of salmon to the Yukon River. A tributary stream, Cripple Creek, was damaged by mining in the 1930s, but is slowly being restored to produce salmon again. A citizen science project is counting fish on the stream. KUAC's Robin reports.
Another long nose sucker. Yep, this one's about
there's a lot of those.
95.
These middle schoolers are part of the Fairbanks Youth for Habitat Corps. They're measuring a fish just removed from a trap in Cripple Creek, west of Fairbanks. It's part of the science they are learning in a two-week camp run by the Fairbanks Soil and Water Conservation District. Terrence Hobson Brower describes what they're studying.
The water, how healthy it is, and if it has a lot of population of fish, insects, and bugs.
Stream health is the theme. The kids have buckets and boots and are looking for different species to count and measure as indicators of a healthy waterway or a polluted one.
Okay, so we are learning about soil erosion.
Genelise Vaya is going into eighth grade.
Trees stabilize the soil near water, so it doesn't erode. Fish are a very good sign, and also bugs are a very good sign of water health. Yeah, mainly our focus is the salmon. Salmon feeds a lot of native communities, and when construction and mining happens, it kind of depletes the population.
Ah, the salmon. Cripple Creek empties into the Chena River that takes its water to the Tanana and then the Yukon. The Chena's watershed is the Yukon's second largest salmon-rearing area in Alaska, and it used to be more potent before diversions and silt changed the habitats and salmon could no longer thrive. A restoration project by the Interior Alaska Land Trust, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Alaska Department of Fish and Game has been slowly correcting the damage on this tributary. The creek has its natural flow again after 85 years. Now salmon can spawn in the stream again, and these kids, like 14-year-old Rory Morgan, are looking for them.
If we catch three salmon, Chinook salmon, then it's kind of in one spot. That's a protected area, and that's our goal. This is our second day, and I feel like we've done pretty well, but we haven't found any Chinook salmon. So.
And while they were looking for indicators of stream recovery, they stumbled upon a grown-up riparian scientist doing much the same thing.
Conducting a study here on Cripple Creek, trying to see the invertebrates and how they're returning as they continue with the restoration.
Thomas House is an independent biologist helping with the BLAST program, Biomedical Learning and Student Training with UAF, which is also studying the stream rebound.
We're actually seeing lots of creatures here, especially caddisflies. There's the ones that live in little cases made of stones and sticks, and there's quite a few of them here, and that's a very good indicator that it has good stream health.
The kids are supervised by Scott Faulkner, Natural Resource Education Technician for the Conservation District. He explains the Youth for Habitat Corps has worked on several conservation projects in the area over recent years.
The big takeaway that we would like participants to have is that they see a career opportunity. Many of these students already have a passion for nature and for conservancy, and we're helping them better understand that and in their own community.
And 7th and 8th graders are super fun age. It's a good time to learn how to do this kind of stuff.
Chelsea Whitroth is a Natural Resource Education Youth Coordinator, also with the Conservation District.
12, 13, 14, 15.
That's all today?
15.
That's all today?
That's just today.
Jeez.
And then they got one lamprey and then one trout.
I'm hoping they'll think about their future, open their heart and soul to a career in conservation.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.